Hey everybody, welcome to the Retire with Freedom podcast. I'm Tad Hill alongside my beautiful and talented wife, Toni. This is the show all about achieving financial freedom so you can retire with confidence and accomplish your retirement dreams. Let's get started.
Tad, our first question comes from Jeff in Trustville. He says that I want to retire in 5 years when I turn 55. Is that a bad idea?
We have no idea. We have no idea if that's a bad idea. It's a retirement planning process, Jeff. And, you know, there's a few things. At 55, there are some issues, right? Because you can't pull money out of an IRA without a penalty until you're 59 and a half. Now, this is a very little known rule that most people in our industry don't even know. And that is that if you've retired or been let go from a company and your money is still in their 401k plan, if you're 55 or older, you can pull it out without a penalty. Now, different plans have different provisions. So some of them you can only take a one-time withdrawal. Some of them will let you take it out periodically. There might be a limit in how many times you can do it a year. But if you're going to retire at younger than 59 and a half, you've got to make sure that we've got enough money that we can get to without penalties to be able to take care of that. So that's a big thing to be thinking about.
And the other thing is what are you going to do about health care? I mean, you can't go on Medicare for 10 years if you retire at 55. Have you factored that in? Can you afford to pay for medical insurance? I mean, we know that's not free. So,
right.
You know, what are we going to do there? And the other thing, too, you just said about tapping into your investment account. I mean, how much have you saved and how long is that going to last? It really depends on what your lifestyle and your run rate is. We certainly don't want to blow through too much too fast because if you're 55 and you retire, I mean, you've got 40 years.
Yeah, right.
We got to at least plan for that. And I don't know if you're married. Are you going to drive your wife crazy? No, just kidding. Just kidding. But whatever.
Well, you sound like you have some experience with that.
No. We work together.
You have experience with husbands driving wives crazy. All right. Next question. Harriet in Vestavia says, my aunt died and left me a rental property that I wasn't expecting. I've never been that interested in owning real estate like this, but I don't want to just sell it because she clearly wanted me to have it. What do you think I should do?
Wow. Did she say she clearly wanted you to have it? I mean, you know, like she gave it to you, but were there instructions never to sell it? One of the things, Harriet, is, again, it needs to be analyzed. We need to find out, can you rent it? What's the cash flow? How much income can you be getting it? It needs to be a fair amount after expenses, property taxes, insurance, all the things you're going to pay, upkeep. Don't know what kind of condition it's in. Is it in an area that's easy to rent?
Yep.
Or is it somewhere really, really rural and might be better to lease it?
I will say this. We like rental income.
Yeah.
Rental income is a very good thing. Typically, you can, after expenses, for most properties, you should be able to clear 7 to 10% after expenses.
But if not, I mean,
if not, then you might want to reconsider. But if you can, and here's the thing, if you don't want to deal with the rental property, just hire a management company.
There's plenty of them, and they just take a 10% fee.
Yeah, typically 10% to do all
much.
The management.
And keep it rented and vet your tenants and all that. To me, that's what, so if you do want to rent it, and it is cash flow positive, like 7 or 8%, you know, a year, then just let somebody else manage it for you, and then you can kind of forget about it and just collect the money.
It's rare that I think selling a property that you can rent consistently is a good idea. I think it's usually a good idea, if you can rent it consistently, to rent it.
And you can get enough money for it.
Right.
Because I'm working with somebody right now, and we're talking about, in fact, I just had a phone call with her. I mean, you know, if you can't get enough, or if you're only clearing, you know, 3 or 4% rent, it's not worth it.
That ratio is not good enough.
It's not worth it. You'll probably do better just to sell it, maybe go buy something you can rent, or sounds like you weren't interested in doing it in the first place, so maybe you just sell it and, I don't know, do something really nice for Aunt Harriet's memory.
Yeah. All right. Next question. What's your opinion of investing in foreign currencies? Well, that's a broad, you know, I wouldn't recommend Bitcoin, but, you know, I mean,
what's the money for?
Well, we've got portfolios that invest in treasuries of other countries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of countries out there that have better balance sheets than we do.
Right.
And again, if you're investing in a treasury of a country, in most cases, that's a reasonably secure investment. I mean, obviously, Greek bonds weren't a great investment.
Right.
So, I mean, you want to be careful and you want to be diversified. Typically, we're using ETFs or mutual funds of some kind to get diversification so that if we do have a particular currency that has a problem, it's not blowing up your investment. But I, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem with foreign currencies as an idea. It's a great way to diversify, you know, your income-based holdings, your bond holdings, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I would also always ask first, what's the money for?
Right. tried to ask that, and I just went on and started talking about stuff.
I mean, you know, what's the money for? Is the money for income for you? Or are you going to need to live on it? Is something you're going to not touch for 10 years? I mean, really, we got to know what's the purpose of the money you're investing in anything before we start investing in
that is
anything.
A very, very, very good point. You must be a retirement planner.
I try hard.
So, yeah, that's a very good point. What's the money for? What are we trying to accomplish? I guess I was just kind of answering the question in a vacuum, which I say we should never do, and then I just did it.
In and of itself, you always say this, there's nothing wrong with most investments. It's just like maybe it's not the appropriate one for you at this time in your life.
Or for what you're, like you just said, what you're
trying to accomplish. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what job are we trying to make this money do? That depends on whether we invest in foreign currencies or not,
and
or something else.
Tony, we're almost done for today. We've gotten to our favorite segment. Usually you just, I don't know what you come up with, but you come up with some goofy stuff that makes me laugh. So this is my favorite segment. So this is the getting to know you. So this is us, I guess, you know, letting folks know what we think and do about different things. So what's the most universally well-known or beloved movie that you've never actually seen yourself?
I don't even want to tell you because everybody says, you've never seen that movie?
I know what this is because we were talking about this the other day.
It's Sound of Music. I've never seen Sound of Music.
You've never seen Sound of Music?
Stop. I mean, no, everybody says that. I don't even want to admit that in public anymore. It's one of my...
Yeah, it's,
I need to
it's
watch
pretty
it.
Shameful, actually.
I know.
I would
to
hate
it.
To be you.
I know it's about Von Trapps. So
Edelweiss.
Stop. I don't even want to hear that. If you remember this, so this is another funny story I'll go into. We were going on a family vacation this summer. It was like July 4th week, and our last name is Hill. So we're on the way to the airport, and everybody is just in the car singing. I don't even know why. Y'all were singing, Doe a Deer, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we were probably talking about the major scale. For folks that don't know, I'm a musician as a hobby. And so we were probably talking about that's the right. major scale that she's singing. So
all of the goofy people in our family were singing that, and I shouted, the hills are alive with the sound of music.
I completely forgot about that.
So see, I didn't sing because singing would not be my thing. I can make clever things about sound music, but I've
never
actually...
Yeah, the hills, that was really funny, actually.
Yeah, because y'all were all singing, and I wasn't.
I completely forgot about
that. So I just had to throw that out there. But I have never seen the movie, so there, I just outed myself.
All right, I've never seen Love Story or Singing in the Rain. I've never seen either of those.
I've seen both of those.
Yeah, are they good?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Is Love Story sad?
Yeah.
Does it make
you cry?
See, those
kind of movies, I watch one. I'm one and done. I don't want to watch really sad movies.
Because it's depressing?
Well, I just like to laugh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like movies with like a ton of gore. It's like, what's the point of all that? Mm. I don't like scary movies, and you do
Ooh,
like scary
movies.
I love
movies. Me some scary movies. Yeah.
I know. And you can't, and I won't ever watch them with you.
Yeah, that's the way.
Which makes me a bad husband, I guess. But I just don't see the point. I don't want my entertainment to, you know.
That's because you're a wimp.
Freak me out. I guess I am.
You're a wimp.
I am a wimp.
Insurance products are offered through the insurance business Freedom Financial Group. Freedom Financial Group is also an investment advisory practice that offers products and services through AE Wealth Management LLC, AEWM, a registered investment advisor. AEWM does not offer insurance products. The insurance products offered by Freedom Financial Group are not subject to investment advisor requirements. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing carrier. This podcast is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual's situation. Freedom Financial Group is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Freedom Financial Group.